Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Well, hello there. Welcome along to the Confessions Podcast. I was told to do it in a sincere voice and not one of my stupid voices.
Oh, really? So is this exactly from on high, is it?
Yep. Oh. The word has gone down. None of your stupid voices. A bit more sincerity will go down very nicely.
Good.
Anyway, so I'm sitting here. Sister Susie's in the saloon bar at the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matt's in his gutter.
In my gutter, yes, I am. Yep, yep.
And also Sister Holly is live from the tat cupboard.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We catch up later with your correspondence on the parish notice board and those confessions just too unpleasant for the radio. Plus, you'll also get to hear all the confessions from this week's Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, which is on between 4 and 7, the confession about a quarter to 6. Pay some attention. Thank you very much indeed. We are in a catalogue shop for Christmas with Damien's prank. Won't you come out and play with me? There's a 12 rating for Monty's Terrible Toilet Tale, Walk and Talk, La-Di-Da Gunner Graham's Confession, Step by Step, Heart to Heart. But first, we are disturbing the downstairs neighbours, tete-a-tete, in Alastair's Confession, A Simple Act of Devotion.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Alastair.
I think it's just on a whim.
Sure? Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, let's just go with it. Mm-hmm. Dear Simon and the Forgiving Fellowship, I might have changed that, or maybe I haven't changed that. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's going to be fine.
So,
if I may, I need to draw very deeply on the wells of your forgiveness in order to explain what went wrong on this infamous evening. I need to explain the architecture of our residence, a flat in South Devon. Essentially, it's an old large house which has been divided into four separate flats, each with their own front door. My parents' flat, at number 4, was on the first floor with just one entry and exit. Number 3, beneath us, also had a garden.
Okay, so that's on the ground floor.
That's the number 3 is on the ground floor.
Yeah.
My parents' flat, number 4, is on the first floor.
Okay.
Just above number 3.
Okay. Where are one and 2 then?
Where are 1 and 2?
On the other side.
On the other side of the house.
One day, my father decided that we needed to fit. Stop questioning. To go with it. It's Alastair you need to be
picking up. Of course. Yeah.
One day, my father decided that we needed to fit a new lock to the front door. Now, anyone who's attempted such a task will know that this can actually be quite a tricky job. Maybe get a specialist, I'd say.
Yeah.
But to his credit, my father selected a lock from the blacksmith, which was actually pretty high quality, and then proceeded to successfully fit it himself. When the mood takes him, my father can be a pretty diligent character, and that late afternoon sat down to read and digest the instruction manual. After some time, he called us down to the front door to view his handiwork and explain the lock's various functions. This is father speaking now.
Yeah.
One very interesting feature, family, pay attention, please. I'm not sure why you'd want the deadlock, but basically, when you open the door, if you turn the key the opposite direction, it locks the door, so it can only be unlocked from outside with the key. In explaining this to us, he then proceeded to demonstrate the feature by turning the key in the lock 2 times the wrong way and slamming the door with us inside the flat. He then showed us quite proudly how the door could not be opened before, after quite some time, dawning on him that he had in fact locked the whole family in the flat. I should perhaps at this point let you know that this was in the days before mobile phones and the internet. My parents did not have a phone line at the time, and indeed even now there is no phone line or broadband in the flat. We were therefore totally stranded and locked in. Downstairs in flat number 3 lived Muriel, a kind and gentle septuagenarian, and on this particular evening she was being visited by her friend Bert, who would regularly pop over for tea and tiffin.
I'll bet he would.
Maybe Muriel could be our salvation. But how? Perhaps at this point it would be helpful to switch the vantage point to Muriel and Bert, who were no doubt just settling in for a Sunday evening of tea and crumpet.
Oh, come on.
And songs of praise.
Yeah.
Yes.
No doubt it was the Antiques Roadshow that was just coming on. Fair enough. Yeah. The reassuring theme tune just giving way to the dulcet tones of Hugh Scully, welcoming viewers to the show. When suddenly they started to hear a tap, tap, tapping noise on the window, quite faint but also persistent. This must have been a pretty unsettling moment for Muriel and Bert, but I'm sure this disquiet would have shortly given way to confusion as they gingerly opened the curtains, only to be greeted by an upside-down coat hanger with a piece of paper sellotaped to it with the word HELP written on it and an arrow pointing upwards. It's like a cartoon. After some explanation of our predicament, Bert agreed that if we chucked the keys down to him, he would let us in, or let us out, even. Yeah. Unfortunately, it was a little bit dark by this time, and when the keys were dropped, we heard Bert, in his deepest Devonshire accent, say, "I've dropped the blooming keys in the bush now." After much time and with encouraging words from us, Bert on his hands and knees, scrabbling around looking for them, eventually he did find the keys. Bert then kindly came round to the front door of our flat to release us from our incarceration. There was much laughter and apologies, and after words of thanks, Bert and Muriel retired to enjoy their evening, songs of praise, crumpet, tiffin and so on. Mm-hmm. "You idiot," my mum said to my dad. "I've never been so embarrassed in my life. How did you manage it?" "I don't really know," replied my dad. "All I did was turn the key like this, then close the door like this," slamming the door, and...
Oh, no, not again.
Yes, Father Son, my father succeeded in locking us in for the second time that evening, meaning we went through the whole routine. Coat hanger, keys, finger pointing up, Bert and Muriel, songs of praise interrupted... So I seek forgiveness for the second time on behalf of my parents, this time for Muriel and Bert, a kind and lovely pair of retirees who are now long since passed, for disturbing their tête-à-tête not once but twice in one evening. Your consideration on this matter would be most appreciated. Well, I always like it when we verge into sitcom territory, and this is almost like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, to be honest. Sister Susie.
I liked that very much, Alistair. I thought the accents were very good. And the genius idea of putting the coat hanger down, tapping on the window, was excellent. However, I don't think I can forgive you, Dad, for doing it a second time, just explaining what he did. So for that reason, he should have been more careful the second time, so I'm not going to forgive him.
Employ a locksmith is what I'd say. Indeed. Every single time. Brother Matthew.
I mean, the genius of that is that they do it the second time. Yes. How did that happen? Well, I'll show you. Bang! Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Can't get out again. Love it. Why are you making a lock where you can't get out when you put the lock? That doesn't make any... What would be the set of circumstances where you'd want a door to close you not to be able to get out again?
From outside, it's extra security.
Yeah.
But you don't basically. You can get inside.
In from out.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes no sense from the whole premise of locks, as I understand them.
Right.
So for that reason, yes. I'm going to forgive.
Based on your knowledge of locks.
Of locks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
See, we've got a deadlock.
Yes. Here's my point. The only sort of environment.
You use it from outside, and it makes the door impregnable.
Yes, but it means that you use your deadlock so that people can't get in.
Yes.
Okay, so they had a deadlock where you couldn't get out. And the only other time that happens is in jail cells. Those are the only doors where they lock them and you can't get out.
Or if you've kidnapped someone, maybe.
Yes, okay. There's another option.
Yeah, if you're holding someone hostage, that would be quite useful.
Did they want to do this in this house?
No, they didn't.
No.
Anyway, okay. It seemed to annoy a certain profession, this confession particularly, and they were represented well, I think, by Gareth on The People's Verdict.
But Gareth says not forgiven. As a locksmith myself, he should have rung me or one of my mates up to sort it. This is why you get us in to do the
correct
job.
As I think we made clear, it's one DIY has its place. I mean, not really, but DIY.
No, you've much taken against it, haven't you?
But yeah. Sorting your own lock is like sorting your own boiler.
Yeah,
it's
basically not
a good idea.
Yes.
Get a professional.
No, don't do that. Don't rewire a house.
Electrics, that's a real
danger.
Yeah, danger.
High voltage. Well done.
To be honest, don't even paint your kitchen. Get someone who knows.
What? No, you paint your kitchen.
No.
I've done that. I mean, it's not great, let's be honest. You know, really, we should have brought in a professional. Yeah. But it's my painting, and that's what counts.
Painting, yes. Wallpapering, no.
Also, don't serve yourself alcohol at home. Go to the pub, where a professional can pour you a drink.
Oh, so true. Very good. Yes, yes, well done.
Thank you. Before we go back to the confessional booth, let's catch up with the new bits and pieces on the parish notice board. Matt, what do you have?
Well, let's stroll manfully into the reviews that are left for us.
It was a bit sexist.
It was a bit sexist, wasn't it?
Let's just stroll.
Yeah. Matt's a bit of a throwback there.
Yeah, I know that.
Five stars, says Eve Confessions. Eve Confessions. Excited.
Confessions. We talked about this last week.
Five stars.
The second bit is
the name.
Title.
Name of their
review. The title. Okay, I mean...
So Eve says...
Eve says, titles. Confessions.
Yes.
Excited. Five stars. Five plus stars, dear Simon, that's Susie, Holly and Matt. You deserve 10 plus stars. I'm from North Carolina, and I've been listening to you from way back. I now have you back in my life, and it's like being with old friends again. I listen to Drive Time every day at work. Plus, I get to hear the Confessions all over again on Friday. Joy! Best podcast. I loved Matt's comment, Nookie on the Nokia. I laughed so hard. It's so...
It is so Matt.
It is so Matt. Five stars, says James. Title Hampshire, 100 stars. That's not to love. What? No, that's not to love. The legend returns.
What's not to love?
What's not to love?
Yes, James.
What's not to love, James? What's not to love, says James. The legend returns in podcast form just 36 years after the original. What? The Confessions podcast is without a doubt my favourite podcast. Simon is joined by the wonderful Confessional Collective and Matt. Unmissable moments and bonus items you don't hear on the radio. What's not to like? Five stars. Pa! 10 stars. Meh. It's 100 stars from me. Oh, and whilst I would love some tat, I know Matt will have taken against me by now. And so for that reason, .. No tat for you.
Do you take against James from Hampshire?
No, because I'm ever forgiving. So, you know, I very much, allowing him some tat, I think.
Right, okay, well...
That's not really your job. It's
not my job.
Kind of,
not my job to allow for the tat.
Yeah. No, know your place, Matt.
Know my place.
Let's just throw that
very
to
much finding that out.
Lady Tat.
Yes.
Does James get something there?
Well, no, because it was asked in a review, and you have to email us, confessions@greatsitsradio.co.uk, with your tat requests. That's the only way it works,
exactly,
I'm afraid.
Right. Yep. There's a notice here adorned in tinsel that says, Christmas confessions wanted. December really is around the corner. Well, depending on when you're listening to this. Because
December has very much come around the corner, possibly,
It's Sunday.
Could be here.
Isn't it? December the 1st.
Yeah.
Yes.
Matt's just working out the calendar in his head.
It is.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
so it's either around
Sunday.
The corner or it's
just
already
my
winter.
Phone. It is Monday.
No,
is the 2nd.
Yes.
And Sunday is the 1st.
It's the 1st.
Precisely.
Confirmation there of the calendar on my phone.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
It's officially winter from Sunday. And that can only mean that we need your Christmas confessions, please. And if you have a Christmas theme, Christmas has so many avenues for confessional activity.
Yeah.
So family, food, drink,
work,
holidays,
parties.
Work parties, going to the pub, then going to church after the pub.
Definitely. Yeah.
There are so many. By the way, okay, so let's just say this now. If your Christmas confession is this, we went to the pub, I got drunk, then I went to midnight mass and threw up on the vicar, we've done that.
Yes.
Because it needs to be slightly better than that.
So threw up on the nativity.
Oh, I'd like no sick, please.
No sick at all.
Oh, the poor baby Jesus.
Could it be a baby Jesus. It's not the real baby. It's just a piece of wood painted like the baby Jesus.
But it represents Jesus.
Is that right?
Yes.
Still don't
remember.
Want it to have sick on.
No, okay.
More theology on this podcast. That's what we need.
Well, it's where it started. The Catholic Church started
it in the first place. They did. They are so true, yeah.
Anyway, so if you have a good Christmas confession, then you can send it to us, please. confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Susie, what have you been reading and engaging with in a very kind of beautiful way?
I have got an email from Lindsay and Paula, whose names may have been changed, which is quite exciting. And they say, Dearest Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Holly and Susie, Postroom Nick as well gets a mention.
Oh, wow. Wow. He'll be thrilled.
Postroom Nick.
I don't even know Postroom Nick is.
Yeah.
You guys haven't even met him.
No.
Yeah.
Where is the postroom?
It's behind reception.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's a cupboard.
I thought it was a bar.
It basically is a cupboard. A what?
It looks like it's both.
So if I knock on the door and say, can I speak to Nick,
please? He'll go, oh, you're right, darling. That's what he'll say.
100%. All right, darling.
Yeah.
Gin and tonic. Oh, right. No, it's a post, is it? Oh, right, fine.
It's a post. Yes.
Okay, so yes, where were we?
Where were we?
Postroom Nick, yes.
Yeah. Postroom Nick. We are planning a surprise. Lindsay here, loving daughter of Jamie, who also might not be his real name. My dad and I started listening to The Confession when I was 7 on the way to dance class, and I'm now 21, and since its return, it's a regular in any car journey. We've also roped my younger sister, Paula, who's now 17, into listening to the podcast with us too, and it's a firm favourite in our house and our car. We were wondering if maybe, possibly, pretty please, could we have a mug from the beloved Tat Cupboard? It's my dad's birthday in January, and even with Christmas around the corner, he refuses to write a list of anything he wants. The only thing he's suggested he wants is a mug from the Tat Cupboard, and we would love to surprise him with one. Lots of love, Lindsay and Paula.
I think that's a very lovely thing.
That's a nice message.
That's a nice idea. And that is, I think that fits the criteria, Holly, of a specific request via the email to you at the Tat Cupboard.
Absolutely.
What do you say?
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. We can send it. I can't promise it'll be there in time for the birthday in January, but we will try our absolute best to get it to you, Lindsay and Paula, if that's your real name.
Why don't we all drive to their house?
What an excellent idea. Yeah, on the 1st of January. Let's,
we don't know quite when it is.
It could be
the end of January.
Could be the end of January, couldn't
that's
it?
True.
Yes, that is true.
Then we could make a special delivery.
Yes, we could.
Mm-hmm. We could all get in my Micra.
Wow.
And have a great time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we do have to listen to your music. Would it be your music on tour?
Yeah, obviously. A bit of George Benson. Never did anyone any harm.
No, okay, a little bit of George Benson. But then there'd be some hits from the musicals.
No, there wouldn't.
Would it be? Oh, no.
No, that's Matt who's picking the musical theatre. Just the Les Mis.
Dear, anyway, dear. Lindsay and Paula, it sounds as though your request for a cheapo present for your dad...
Has been approved.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate that they've changed their names so their dad doesn't know. It's exciting. No spoilers.
Okay, so if you're the dad and you've got, if you fit that pattern, it may well be you. If you're kind of grumpy and difficult to buy for, and you've got someone who could be Lindsay and Paula. I think you know what you're going to have.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep your additions to the parish notice board coming in, please. Christmas confessions and all that stuff. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. That's the one. Couple of mentions right now to Ed Hyde, Helen Duxbury, Emma W 24601, Paul Frame, T.H. Golf, Stephen Hill, Bill Pickard, who mentioned he migrated from X. It occurs to me that the best thing to say about that is we should just call it Twix, shouldn't we? Not only does it promote my favourite chocolate bar, but it was kind of Twitter, and now it's X.
Yes.
So Twix kind of works for both.
It does. Yeah.
Okay.
Twix.
Also, we might get sent some.
I'm manifesting it for us.
Oh, good. That works.
How does that work?
Yeah, definitely. The universe. Twix! No, didn't work this time. Never mind.
Okay. Also, Michael Patterson, Matt Cherry and Kat Ashworth, who are amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, baby on a roller coaster. Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast. Now it's time to head back to the Mark Knopfler section of the show with the stories that are too seedy, too gross or just too illegal for us to include on the show. Obviously, it can't be too illegal. It's either legal or it's illegal.
That's so true.
Something can't be very illegal.
No.
Although, it kind of some things feel very illegal. Like if you do 24 and a 20 miles per hour, asked, really? Come on, 24 and a 20? Come on. that's illegal.
That's still illegal.
Yes. If you do 110 in a 30, that's very illegal.
Very illegal. Not a legal phrase out there, really, is it? Illegal and very illegal, Your Honour.
It's just a...
Yeah, observation there on ethics.
Anyway, we're going to start with Dave.
Yep.
Dave, now I know that your previous teacher just sounded horrible and a bully, but that was probably the reason why you didn't know any Welsh. That doesn't make it okay that when your new teacher took a disliking to you, you got back at him. I can't believe I'm actually saying these words out loud, by putting laxatives in his sugar and coffee on a weekly basis. That stuff, we've made it
never,
very clear.
Never ever gets on.
Never gets on.
No.
Why is this so common?
No.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't just once as well. It was weekly.
That's awful.
Has he not worked it out? Probably don't drink the tea. I wouldn't drink the tea if it was having that
anyway,
impact.
You're not getting anything for that James, it may have been a house party to celebrate the millennium, but having consumed alcohol is no excuse for putting a goldfish into your mate's drink. Which was iron brew and vodka.
What? Oh. Ooh.
It took him until it was almost empty to realise that there was a fish in it, and it turns out that you made the fish as drunk as your mate, because once he was returned to his tank, he could only swim sideways. Well, I mean, that's
okay.
Always a classic example of a fish that's had too much alcohol is when they swim sideways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know a lot about fish?
I do. And yeah. I know the ones that swim sideways. Sideways?
Those
ones. Yeah, those ones are not a good look for the fish community.
Really?
You know all about them.
I do. Yep. Yes, big fan.
I think if a fish is about to swim sideways, it's not long for this.
Yeah, I think it's basically it's dead, isn't it? A fish that's swimming sideways is no longer
Well, if it was dead, it would be floating or just not moving.
No, that's what a swimming sideways is. It's swimming on its side.
Well,
it's a euphemism for being dead.
Well, do you just say it was just not moving? If it's swimming, it's moving.
No, because the fish don't, when they don't move, they float and they look like they're swimming sideways.
No, they don't.
No.
What? What? All the fish that I've seen that have died floated. Yeah. They've all floated. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's not the same as swimming sideways, though.
Once again, Matt proven right.
No, I think
what's clear
is that we're...
Yes.
I think they all lived happily ever after, and I think the fish probably survived.
Yeah, I think so.
Just looking at
maybe they took the goldfish to the back.
Oh, yes, looks like I'm right again.
Anyway, get back to those that did make the cut, given that conversation was going absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
Yep. We're heading to the catalogue shop, whatever that could be, in the run-up to Christmas for Damien's tale, Won't You Come Out and Play With Me?
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Damien says, Father Simon and the Holy Communion, I feel now is the time to confess to an act that was committed several years ago, and I feel I need to cleanse my deepest soul. It's December 1997, and I was a student at a certain university. I had taken a year out from college to work and save for university, but somehow managed to blow all my money in the first few months.
Yeah.
Funny how that happens. Mm-hmm. As a result, I needed to find work, and as Christmas was approaching, I managed to find a job at a catalogue shop.
It could be any, couldn't it? So many of them.
My job in back in the day.
Yeah.
Were there lots?
No.
My job entailed putting cages and cages of stock away on the shelves from deliveries. Myself and a few others would work the grueling twilight shift, which was from 6 p.m. till midnight. Despite the unsociable hours, the group of guys I used to work with were a good laugh, and we would pass the time by playing the radio really loud as the store had closed and playing the odd practical joke on each other. This catalogue shop is mainly famous for its toys, and we would often hide in the aisles and squeeze the bellies of Teletubbies, pull the cords on toy ducks, or throw balls at each other. Well, one evening, our deviousness reached a whole new level. What caught our naughty attention were the Talk Boy gadgets. You may remember them from the film Home Alone 2. Kevin could speak into the recorder and then play it back with different sounding voices.
Oh, yes.
Mm. A nice little device. Well, these Talk Boys on the racking were fully batteried up, fully functional and ready to record. We would often talk into the microphones and record silly messages. They even had a timer so that you could go and put the Talk Boy on somewhere, then a minute later it would go off and scare that whatever out of a fellow employee. We would leave messages like, and here you need to put on a scary voice, please,
good,
Father
good,
Simon.
Good, yes.
Oh.
What an excellent day for an exorcism. Or, yeah. 1, 2, Fred is coming for you. 3, 4, better lock your door.
Oh, that's very good, yeah.
Also.
Creepy.
Sometimes dead is better.
Right.
Top horror catchphrase is all very immature, I know, but they were long, gruelling shifts, and it kept us entertained. I worked there right up until a few days before Christmas, and then I went back home to this particular well-known town for the holidays. A few weeks later, I returned to the store.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. I went back to this particular different town to begin my second semester at university, or term as it's known.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't work at this particular store anymore, I had been quite friendly with a young lady, we'll call her Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And we met up for a drink. Whilst having a chat about Christmas, I asked how the gang at the catalogue store were. There were no mobile phones or WhatsApp groups back then, Father Simon, so I hadn't really kept in touch with them. She then proceeded to tell me then it had all gone a bit bad. When I asked why, she told me the following. She said that while she was working there a few days after Christmas, a couple of very irate customers had come into the store and vented their wrath. They said that they had purchased a Talkboy to give to their children at Christmas. They then played her some of the messages that had been left on the Talkboys. Oh, blimey, I thought. I didn't realise the messages were stored. I thought it just deleted automatically. She went on to repeat some of the messages that were played aloud. Some were the scary ones, but also there were some slightly ruder ones.
Oh, yeah.
There was also a long played out recording of us running around the aisles and unfortunately using bad language. One of the customers had said that their children had been left traumatized by some of the scary voices that seemed to sometimes go off randomly whilst in wrapping paper under the Christmas tree.
Oh boy.
One of them, under the tree, still wrapped on Christmas Eve, started wailing, "They're here! They're here!" Cue traumatized family. There was obviously some kind of master reset button that needed to be pressed, but no one had realized that. She went on to tell me that the night manager and all my ex-colleagues had had a severe telling off by the big boss and were actually given a written warning for their antics. "Whoa," I said. "That doesn't sound good." And it would appear that I had dodged a severe bullet, Father Simon, and got out of my job at exactly the right time. So where do I go with forgiveness? First of all, I'd like to see forgiveness from Alice, who had to endure the wrath of irate customers bringing back talk boys and playing the scary and obscene messages back to her at customer services. I need to seek forgiveness from those children who were left traumatized by the scary wrapped Christmas presents under the tree, pumping out Jack Nicholson and Freddy Krueger voices, or listening to grown men shouting obscenities at each other whilst working. I also see forgiveness from my fellow colleagues, as it would appear that they were punished for their antics and I got away with it. And I had a grant. In fact,
oh yes,
I had a bit of a result, as I was able to use my staff discount card at the store for a further 18 months.
Wow.
Because no one realised that I'd left. It's a clear example of a prank that had gone wrong. And as Einstein said, every action has a reaction. I think you're just showing off there. At this point. You'd have to quote Einstein. No. I hand my fate over to you, says Damien. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, Damien, it's a very funny, but I don't like pranks. And if I'd had one of those talk boys under my tree and it started making noises like Freddy Krueger, I think I would have been slightly terrified, never mind a child. So I can see where they're coming from, and I don't forgive you.
1, 2, Freddy's coming for you.
No thanks. I'm going to forgive. I like the reference to Poltergeist with the hair. Very good. But the reason I'm going to forgive is surely the manufacturer should be making sure that you can't... They should be wrapping up the talk boy, shouldn't they? You shouldn't be able to record before you've actually bought it. And that is a problem with the system once again. So really, if we think about it, Damien hasn't done anything wrong.
Right.
And the 18 months of having the catalogue thing, that sounds good as well. And I'm sure it went well with Alice. So for that reason,
yes,
I'm going to forgive.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Can you still get things like that? Talk boys, where all sort of toys where you speak into a doll and then the doll speaks back.
Let's hand over to Holly, what's the deal with the talk boys?
I don't know what a talk boy is, I'm going to be honest, but I there must be toys like teddy bears and things where you can record into... That definitely is a thing.
Who wants a teddy that's got your grandma's voice going, "Hello, dear"?
Someone's selling a talk boy on eBay for over £1,000.
Wow.
No.
Should have gone into them, shouldn't we?
What actually is a talk boy? I'm genuinely asking.
Well, Susie's looking at one, so describe a talk boy, please.
Do you know the scene in Home Alone?
Yes.
Where he's got the... Basically, it's like a tape recorder.
Uh-huh.
Like a Walkman. And he records the film off the telly and plays it back.
Yeah.
You
filthy animal. Yeah.
It's like that. So it's basically a tape recorder, like a Walkman with the ability to record your own voice. Got a little speaker. It's silver. Looks very much like a standard Walkman, but it's got an extra speaker on the side.
Okay.
And a bit you can talk into.
So it's just like a tape recorder then?
Yeah, essentially.
Right.
Okay. So it's a tape recorder for kids.
Fun.
Yeah, well, clearly it was, and up to a lot of mischief. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk if you have a similar kind of tale. So, still to come on the Confessions podcast. Yes. Monty has some toilet trouble, but it's not what you might think. I mean, it's still a little bit.
It is what you might think, yeah.
In his tale, walk and talk. But first, it's la-di-da Gunnar Graham's confession, step by step, heart to heart.
Shh, shh, shh. We won't tell anyone. What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Dear Father Simon, Mother Superior Susie, Brother Matthew, Sister Holly, and Friar Ted, aka the clergy of Clemency. So that's your young son getting his first reference.
Wow.
You have to give him something special. I know as a keen student of this feature, says Gunnar Graham, that you are not well inclined towards military confessions.
Oh, yes. That's true.
This is, I am sure, for the very good reason of taste and decency. However, you may feel that this one is okay, as we were only wannabe soldiers. I should say at this point, this is because there is a certain military sense of humour, which I'm sure if you're in the military, goes down very well.
Yeah.
Doesn't translate to radio.
It's not for the radio.
Gunnar Graham says, my tale of disgrace takes me back to a summer fair in the town of Hawley in Surrey around 12 years ago. It was a beautiful day at the summer fair, complete with the usual activities as well as a main arena. I was with my family, as my father, brother-in-law and sister were in a local pipe band. My dad on bagpipes, my sister on tenor drum, and my brother-in-law on the side drum. The band performed well, playing a selection of pipe band classics, Amazing Grace, Flower of Scotland, Flowers of the Forest, and so on. I'm sure you could add to the playlist with your encyclopedic knowledge of pipe music, Father Simon, but here they had done well and received a good round of applause as they played out of the arena at the end. I don't have, as it happens, a encyclopedic knowledge of pipe music, wow, but I'm learning all the time.
We are, aren't we?
We're going to build a playlist, really, for Christmas. A short time later, says Gunnar Graham, a group of local army cadets doing a marching routine in the arena turned up. They performed a selection of film scores, the Dam Busters, 633 Squadron, that kind of thing, along with Colonel Bogey, the Radetzky March, you get the idea. They went down well and were also able to merit a big round of applause, mostly from beaming parents, seeing their offspring marching in perfect unison, reminiscent of the wildebeest marching past Scar, whilst he is singing Be Prepared in The Lion King.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which is a very, very good musical which you need to try out sometime. Their performance had ended, and still in unison, they marched off flawlessly out of the arena past myself and my family. And this is the reason I'm asking you to forgive my transgression. Because as they passed us, still marching like the Lion King wildebeest, a small devil appeared on my shoulder. I decided to use my voice in what sounded like a distant shout, but as they were quite close, it was just loud enough so they could hear me. In this quiet shout, I called out the words, Company, ya halt!
Oh, dear.
By the leader of the group, the rest of the troop came to a sudden halt. Three fell over.
Oh, no.
Two fell on top of each other. A second or two passed when the troop went from the marching wildebeest to a family of meerkats as they looked around haphazardly, wondering what had happened before turning into a stampeding wildebeest catching-up session to the leader who hadn't heard what had happened. This, of course, was a huge embarrassment, and this is why I hang my head in shame, says la-di-da Gunnar Graham. I need to ask forgiveness from the kids in the army cadets just in case the leader found out and dished out any military punishments of push-ups or star jumps. Do they still do that? That must have been bestowed on them. Yours faithfully, la-di-da Gunnar Graham. I often wonder whether people attempted to sort of jump in and become the regimental sergeant major.
Yeah, just at that moment
and shout out different instructions. My guess is there'll be a few military folk who'll go, yes, this happens quite a lot. It's a bit like a fake referee's whistle at a football
match, which obviously
can be very annoying and is probably illegal, so we don't encourage anything like
that.
Anyway, this might be a military confession that is forgivable from Matt's point of view, I don't know, but very few of them forgivable from Susie's point of view.
Yeah, I was on Gunnar Graham's side there for a little bit. I quite like the sound of his pipe band and, you know, it sounded like it was really good. And it might be tempting to do what he did, but isn't it just a bit mean? They were only cadets. They were only young. It's just, that's, I just feel like it's almost like pranky, and I don't like pranks and I don't like being mean to people. So I'm not going to forgive Graham because I feel like he should have known better.
Also, the proud family's watching on for that wonderful moment. And here is my child doing very well. Oh, no, they've all fallen over.
No, they're on the floor.
And it's actually Gunnar Graham's fault.
Yes.
Brother Matthew.
Well, I'm going to forgive. I mean, obviously, as Susie points out, they are only kids, but they've got to learn sometime, haven't they? And you've got to... And how can it be? This can't possibly be the failsafe where just some bloke shouts out, company halt, and they all stop. I mean, there's got to be a better system than that, surely.
Imagine if there'd been a battle and Lardy Dog shouted out the wrong kind of
exactly, go
order.
Left.
Yes. They're supposed to go right.
Go right. Yes. Oh dear. Well, in which case they need to come up with a better system. Maybe something to do with flags. That's what I was
thinking.
Wow.
Flags.
So
flags.
Like in the 19th century.
Yes, indeed. Do that. Mm-hmm. Think on that.
Get some
pipe bands. So for that reason, because of the flags, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Today's confession is distasteful, so let's give
good.
It a 12 certificate,
wow.
I think.
Excellent.
Yes, I think that's appropriate. Suitably warned. This comes from Monty. Thanks, Monty. Father Simon, Brother Matt, and the Sisters of No Mercy. I'm here to confess a sin that goes back to the late 90s, and I seek redemption. It's the year 1999, and I was a mere 18-year-old student at college. During the summer months, to get a bit of extra cash, I used to work as a security guard at the local motor museum.
It could be any of them, yeah.
This would basically involve parking and access monitoring of stall holders for motorbike, classic car meets, all those kind of things. That's what we did, because this was the motor museum.
Yes.
When the sun was shining, it was glorious. Despite the dismal wage of £4 an hour, we would have lots of fun. There was a team of 10 of us, both young and old, and we would be kitted out in security shirts, standard bright yellow high-vis jackets, and most importantly, CB walkie-talkies, so that we could communicate with each other. Our supervisor in charge was a big chap called Stan, who looked a bit like Fred Elliott off Coronation Street. A nice guy, but had a beastly temper when things went a bit wrong. There was a bit of a divide between the old boy guards and the young students, but in general, we seemed to get along despite a few frosty arguments. We had a little porter cabin where we would sit and have breaks and so on, and a big green portaloo next door for when the time came for those kind of activities. Well, it was a hot Saturday afternoon, and I was indeed frequenting the portaloo for a quick break. I took my great big yellow jacket off to undress my lower clothing, and with all the huff and puff, ended up accidentally dropping my walkie-talkie down the toilet.
Oh, dear.
Down it went, through the hole.
Oh, bye-bye.
And into the cesspit below, where the devil lived.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, bother, I shouted loudly, or maybe something to that effect. I didn't know what to do, but I knew I had to get this walkie-talkie back out. So I went outside and I had a look around. I managed to find two large sticks. I went back to the portaloo. I lifted up the whole seating area, and there, amongst other things, was the walkie-talkie.
Oh, what?
What else was in there? No.
Oh.
No, well, it could be just anything.
It can't. Well, anyway, move on.
The less said about that, the better,
I spent at least
think.
10 minutes trying to fish it out, and after many attempts of it falling back in...
falling back in?
It's like some kind of end of the pier amusement when you're trying to get out something nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, eventually I managed to get the walkie-talkie out. But what to do? How do you clean battery-powered machinery? You can't just run it under the tap.
Oh.
And there weren't any antibacterial wipes around. I didn't want to approach Stan and tell him what had happened, as I was worried he might get a little cross. So I did the only thing I could, which was to just take it back to the cabin and put it back in the charging stand and just get another walkie-talkie. The ironic thing was that the now soiled walkie-talkie was labelled number 2. Just thought I'd like to know that.
Of course it was.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
All was well for a few hours until I was on the gate in the late afternoon. My colleagues and Stan came out and joined me on the gate, and we were letting the cars in and out. As Stan and I got chatting, I took a glimpse at the walkie-talkie he had in his hand, and you guessed it, there it was with a sticker which said number 2. And he had it in his hand, quite literally. Stan was quite a fidgety chap, and when stood for hours at a gate, he simply couldn't keep still. He would be constantly mucking about with his walkie-talkie, and even at one point, he used the aerial to itch his cheek with. Followed by briefly picking his teeth with it, but every time he spoke into it, I would cringe as to how close it was to his mouth. How could he not smell anything? Anyway, he was a bit of a sly one, was Stan, and would definitely grasp me up to the big boss and cause a drama. I didn't want to get into any of that. I didn't want to give them any more reason to hate students than they already did, because that's what it's about.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
It's a class thing, Father Simon. Yeah. I seek forgiveness for not speaking up and warning everyone about walkie-talkie number two. It was a complete accident, however, and I'm sure Stan and my boss would probably disagree. I also seek forgiveness from any further colleagues that may have used walkie-talkie number two. It's not as if anyone ever cleans them anyway, so it would probably have been like that for a while. Anyway, I'm just getting rid of my burden and my stain after all these years from 1999. Sister Susie, I know, will be very, very harsh on this man, I think.
Well, I think Monty's just disgusting. I think if anything, I think we all agree here, if anything falls into a portaloo, you just leave it there, wherever it is.
Well, if it's your wallet and it's got like 300 quid in it, you're gonna go, oh well, never mind.
Yes, that's exactly
what
you're
not
gonna
do. Fish it out with chopsticks, am I?
Ugh.
Just absolutely disgusting. And the fact that he even didn't even attempt to clean it is even worse. And yeah, I just can't forgive him at all. Disgusting.
Brother Matthew, what do you say?
So I'm going to forgive Monty. I mean, number one, he managed to rescue this walkie. I don't think I'd have bothered. I think I'd have just said, oh, it's lost or stolen or something like that. I'm not going into there with that, with some chopsticks. How ridiculous. So definitely well done to him for that. And also, you know, Stan, you shouldn't be using the walkie-talkie to pick your teeth and rub your cheek and do all of that stuff anyway, because nobody ever cleans those things anyway.
That's true.
So, you know, it would have been just as bad if it hadn't been caked
Stan's
in.
Not the same.
Yeah, Stan's
not
fault
the same.
For exactly the same. So for all of those myriad reasons, yes. I choose to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
It's very strange that Stan was unaware of where this walkie-talkie had been.
Definitely would have smelled.
Yeah,
It's been in close proximity to his nose.
Yes. And
his mouth.
Yet.
And yet he's still... Anyway, Monty's confessions caused a bit of pain on the people's verdict, as you're about to hear.
Dave from the Ribble Valley says, forgiven. That was quite some feat to fish out the walkie-talkie. Given that I had my appendix removed on Monday, that was equally the funniest and most painful confession I think I've heard. I may have done some damage to my stitches laughing so much. Great show.
Kind of needs a public health warning, not just for grounds of taste, but also it might be so hilarious that you bust your stitches.
But that isn't that our entire confessions podcast is too hilarious if you've just had stitches in your vegetables.
If you have been inspired or provoked by any of our tales this week, you can send in your own confession to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's incredibly secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is fish swimming sideways. Fish swimming sideways is the phrase to get in contact.
If you've listened this far, you can thread me. I am Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads. And you can find me on Blue Sky. Matt's also on Blue Sky.
Yeah.
Everyone
isn't it great?
Is on Blue Sky. All the cool people are. Susie, you're on Blue Sky?
I am.
Holly, you on Blue Sky?
No.
Refusing, are you? I'm not going there.
I don't
do that kind of thing.
What is it?
Okay, we'll be back. We're back.
What's the point?
Okay, Grandma, we'll come back to you once the kids have explained to you how social media works. So don't forget, keep telling everyone about the Confessions podcast, which is back and lovely. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra.
From the tack cupboard, Sister Holly says...
Hasta la vista, baby.
From the gutter, Brother Matt says...
Goodbye.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Very conventional. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Download us again next week.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself. Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
I have turned too many pages.
Page six.
Yeah.
Page five, page six.
There it is.
Still to come.
There we go. Where it says still to come.
Still to come is where we go. Mm-hmm. Q, still to come.